Welcome to the North Point Community Church Podcast. We're so glad that you've chosen to be part of creating a Christ-centered, culture-changing community. For more information on North Point or any of our other ministries, you can visit our website at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com. We hope that you enjoy this inspiring word from our pastor.
Today we're kicking off a brand new series entitled My Declaration. My Declaration. And you know, every week here, you just said it, every week here at North Point Community Church, we say the declaration of the house. I am a child of God. I am loved and adored. We just went all the way through that. But over the next 4 weeks, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be breaking down that declaration so that we can know why we are saying what we're saying. We're going to be diving into the scripture so that we can see the truth, that this isn't something that's just made up. This isn't something that came off the top of our heads. No, there is scriptural backing for the declaration that we're saying. So what we say every week, some of you have put this declaration up in your house. Some of you say it every day. What you are saying over your life is you are speaking the word of God over your life. So we're going to be breaking that down over the next few weeks. But today we're going to start in Matthew chapter 12. Looking at verse 33, Matthew 12, verse 33, Jesus said this: if you want good fruit, you must make the tree good. If your tree is not good, it will have bad fruit. A tree is known by the kind of fruit it produces. You snakes, he's speaking to the Pharisees here, you evil people, so how can you say anything good? The mouth speaks the things that are in the heart. Good people have good things in their hearts, so they say good things. But evil people have evil in their hearts, so they say evil things. And I tell you that on the judgment day, people will be responsible for every careless thing they have said. Today, I want to speak to you on the topic, I do declare. I do declare. Let's pray. Father, Lord, in these next few moments, I ask that you would do what only you can do. Mold us and make us into everything that you created and designed for us to be. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray and with expectation. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. Well, if you grew up around here, especially if you grew up in the country, you have probably heard this phrase, well, I do declare. Well, I do declare. I remember hearing that all growing up. My grandmother is from Hainesville, Louisiana, and I would spend most weekends there in Hainesville, Louisiana. I love going there, and my grandmother would say this probably more than any human ever alive. Well, I do declare. That's the biggest tomato I have ever seen in my life. Well, I do declare you made straight A's again. Here's $10. Well, I do declare. It was one of her favorite things to say, but today we are hijacking this old country saying, and we are taking it for our use today. We are not talking about a tomato or straight A's. We are talking about I do declare, because there are some things that I need to declare over my life. There's some things that I need to declare over my family. There's some things that I need to declare over my future, and I do declare. I do believe in the power of the declaration of the Word of God. But before we dive into our declaration, we also need to understand the importance of what we do declare over our lives. You know, whether you realize it or not, you are declaring things over yourself, over your future, over your family, literally almost every single day. A declaration is simply this, something that we announce or proclaim. A declaration is just something that we say out loud. It's something that we announce to somebody else, something that we proclaim out into the atmosphere as truth. I just want to read a few declarations maybe that you have said before, or maybe you have heard somebody say. I'm the most impatient person ever. I find a way to screw everything up. My life is too stressful to handle. Great, now my whole day is ruined. I'm completely alone and no one cares about me. My emotions are out of control. My son and I are always going to butt heads and we'll probably never get along. My boss is never going to give me what I deserve. I am so nervous, so worried, so afraid, so angry, so forgetful, so fat, so disappointed, so confused, so ugly, so stubborn. All of these things we have probably said, or at least some of these we have probably said or heard before in our lives. And many times without realizing it, these are the types of things that we are declaring over ourselves. These are the type of things that we are announcing over our lives and over our families. You say, well, Pastor Phil, are you just telling me to say that I should just lie and say that everything is okay? No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm also saying that you don't have to use your confession of struggle as a declaration of defeat. There is a big difference between making a confession and a declaration. You can confess your struggle, but you don't have to mix your confession and your declaration in the same thing. Impatient, stressed out, emotional, having kid trouble, all of these are true confessions, and we know that we need to confess our struggles and we need to confess our sin, because the book of James tells us that when we confess our sins to one another, then we can be healed. So there is power in confession. We need to confess these truths, but don't ever allow your confession to become your declaration. Confess your problems, but you better declare his promises. Confess your failure, but you better declare his forgiveness. Confess your sin, but you declare his salvation. Never let your problem, your failure, or your sin become your declaration. You see, your declaration is always your response to your confession. Because the truth of the matter is, we've all had seasons where we've been impatient. So you can confess your impatience, but you don't have to tie it in your declaration. You see, the way I said it to you earlier, it's a declaration. I am the most impatient person ever. That's a declaration. You are declaring that over yourself. Here's a confession. Right now, I am struggling with impatience, but I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will be able to overcome this, because a fruit of the Spirit is patience, so I know it's possible for me to have it. You can make true confessions that say, I am overly stressed right now, but the declaration was, it is too stressful for me to handle. That means it's out of my control. That means that my stress is driving my life and there's nothing that I can do about it. But you can have a true confession that says, I am stressed out right now. I am overwhelmed at this moment with the amount of work that I have to do on my job. I'm overwhelmed right now with where I am, but you know what? I believe by the power and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, I will find a way to deal with everything that I have to deal with so that I can accomplish what is before me. You see, I can have a true confession, but I don't ever need to mix my confession and my declaration. Our words are so important. I read on someone, I can't remember who said it, but I read just this week, it says that we frame our world with the words that we speak. The world that we live in is framed by the words that we speak. So if I begin to speak my life is too stressful to handle, if I begin to speak that I'm the most impatient person ever, if I begin to speak that me and my son will never get along, I begin to frame my world, and then I live in what I have created. Your world creates, your words create your world, and then you live in that world. So what you are living in is actually created by your words. And it is okay to struggle. It is okay to have confessions, but don't ever allow your declaration over your life to be found in your struggle. No. Your declaration is found in his truth. Your declaration is found in his word. Your declaration is found in what God has spoken over your life. Let me just give you a few scriptures out of Proverbs today that deal with this thought of the power of our words. Proverbs 18, verses 20 and 21 says, from the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You see, you will either eat the fruit of life or you will eat the fruit of death, and you get to choose what you eat. You get to choose what you ingest, because what you fill your life up, or as it says, your stomach up, is with the words that you speak. And it's just like anything in the natural. If you we all understand this. If you eat a Big Mac for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and you do that every day for the rest of this year, by the time you get to the end of 2017, you're not going to be feeling too hot. All right, it's not going to work out well. We understand that. But you know what? If we make good choices along the rest of the year, and we start eating healthy, and we start eating some organic, and we start eating our vegetables, and we start eating things that are clean and healthy and good for us, then when we get to the end of the year, we're going to be feeling good. Our body is going to be in better condition and in better shape. Well, it's no different than our words, because our words is what we eat on. So we can't eat junk food all day by what we speak and then expect to be living in victory and in perfect health. It's not going to work, but we get to choose that. We get to choose. Proverbs 12:14 says, "From the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things, and the work of their hands brings them reward." You see, this verse here compares the fruit of our lips with the work of our hands. The metaphor likens the rewards of hard work with the fruits of good, positive, and healthy speaking. You see, we often talk about the value of hard work, but many times we don't include the value of good words. We are quick to talk about, yeah, he's a hard worker. Yeah, there's value in hard work. Absolutely, there's value in hard work. That truth is found in the Bible. But right there beside the hard work of your hands is also the good talk of your mouth. The Bible compares them, links them together, does not separate them at all. And so while we tend to lean towards the value of hard work, so many times we wonder why we're not getting any traction and why we're not moving further along, because I'm working so hard, but I'm only doing half. So I'm taking a step forward over here, and then I'm taking a step back over here. But we've got to make sure that our hard work and our good speak are working in sync with one another so that we can get the reward out of both of them that God wants us to have. Proverbs 12:18 says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So much power in our words. Here we see the truth that the words are rarely neutral. Have you discovered that? Words are rarely neutral. They either pierce like a sword, or they bring healing. Words typically always leave a mark, whether it's good or bad. And this isn't just talking about the words that you speak to others. This is also referring to the words that you speak to yourself. The words that you speak over yourself and over your life, they are either piercing you like a sword, or they are bringing healing. And here's the cool thing about it, is that you can get new words, and by having new words, you can bring healing to places where old words put a scar. I want you to hear me. There may have been places in your life for the last 10 years, 15 years, 30 years, you have been saying certain things, and the words that you have been saying have been piercing you like a sword. They have been cutting you like a sword. You can begin to declare new words, and with the new words, as you declare that new word from God, that new word of trust, that new word of declaration, it can begin to heal these places where you have wounded yourself. And now, there is power in your words, but just one different word one time is probably not going to make the difference in your life. You can't speak 1,000 reckless words and expect the wounds to be healed with just one good one. If you remember it in Proverbs 18:20, it said, "With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied." With the harvest of their lips. How many understand harvest is a process? The harvest of your lips. That means it doesn't just happen fast. You can ask a farmer. The harvest doesn't just pop up. You got to go through a process, the harvest of your lips. That means it takes a while. That means it takes some time. That means you got to practice it. That means you got to work at it. That means what you want to happen in a moment is not going to happen in a moment. It's going to take a season and a period of time. But if you will go through the process, guess what you can have? You can have the healing, because words will bring healing. It's in the Word of God. I love what Jesus said there in Matthew 12, and we read it in one translation. Now I want to read it to you out of the Message translation. I think it's so, it just really brings it into a different light. It says this, it says, if you grow a healthy tree, you'll pick healthy fruit. If you grow a diseased tree, you'll pick worm-eaten fruit. The fruit tells you about the tree. You have minds like a snake pit. How do you suppose what you say is worth anything when you are so foul-minded? It's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. A good person produces good deeds and words season after season. An evil person is a blight on the orchard. Let me tell you something. Every one of these careless words is going to come back to haunt you. There will be a time of reckoning. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words can also be your damnation. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. And according to Jesus here in the little parable, the little story that he gives us, the picture that he paints, we can't attempt just to change our words, because if we don't change our mind and our heart, then changing our words is not going to matter, because it's not going to last. Because he says the fruit that's on the tree has to come from the tree. So if the heart is bad, if the soul is bad, if the tree is bad, it will always produce bad fruit. So I just can't go over and steal somebody's good words from the tree next to me and try to pick their fruit and then put their fruit on my tree, just saying what they say, mimicking what they do, and just try to act that way. No, that's not going to happen, because sooner or later, that's not going to last. That fruit is going to rot. That fruit is going to die, and I can't produce the good fruit that I need to produce. Why? Because the tree is not good. However, if you are in the lifetime process of having your heart and mind changed by God, then listen to me this morning. Then changing your words can actually play a role in that transformation process. If you are in this lifetime journey, if you desire for your heart to be like God's heart, if you desire your mind to think His thoughts, if that's the journey that you are on in your desire, then changing what you say can actually begin to help that process. Why do you say that? Because Romans 10:17 says this, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So whenever I speak the Word of God, I'm literally speaking faith into my soul. I'm speaking God's way into my soul. As I declare His Word over my life, I am actually strengthening myself from within. And the more my heart is like His heart and my mind is like His mind, then guess what? More my words are going to be like His words. But I use my words to help transform my heart and my mind so that my words would always be like His words. Let me just give you three things this morning that your words are impacting. Three things that your words are impacting. Here's the first thing that your words are impacting. Your words are impacting your walk. Your words are impacting your walk. How you see God, how you see yourself, and how you see others. How you see God affects how you talk to God, and it affects how you talk about God. How you see yourself affects how you talk to yourself and how you talk about yourself. How you see others affects how you talk to others and also how you talk about others. And your walk with God, it revolves around Him, you, and others. That's it. That's all that your walk with God is about. Is about Him, you, and others. So if I'm not seeing him, myself, and others the right way, and I'm not talking to him, myself, or others the right way, not talking about him, myself, or others the right way, then we're missing the whole point, and my walk is being thrown off. Why? Because of the words that I'm speaking. But God desires for you to speak and to believe the right things concerning himself and you, your future, and others. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 13. He says, I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. He says, I have recited them out loud. I have declared your will. I have declared your way. I have recited it out loud. I have spoken it. I have proclaimed it. I have announced it. I have declared it over my life. Many times we don't recite his way. Instead, we repeat our own perspective. We say, God must be mad at me. God doesn't have time for someone like me. We say things like, I'm a failure. I'm incapable of being used by God. I am too messed up. We say things like, I just don't believe that people can change. I don't have time for people like that. Psalm 143 verse 8 says, let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you. You know, it's hard to know where to walk when our words are more focused on our failures than they are on his unfailing love. And so our words are affecting our walk. I want to walk with you. I want to walk in the direction that you want me to walk in. However, when my words don't match up with his words, my way is not going to match up with his way. And so now my words are becoming an obstacle in my walk with God and where he's trying to take me. Here's the second thing that our words impact. Our words impact our waves. Our word impacts our waves. Everyone has to deal with the ways of life. You know, I remember being a young boy going to the beach, and you would be out there, and you'd be playing in the waves and, you know, just having a good time and playing. You know, everything was fun, but then there was that one big wave that snuck up on you. You know, it's like, where'd they come from? All of them were just like this, you know, and just psh, 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 and then all of a sudden one came in, and you were playing, you're not even paying attention. The next thing you know, you're just getting toppled, feet are up outside of the water. And you know, we all have waves, but then there's that one big wave that comes. And you weren't really expecting it, and you were doing good managing the little waves and the little obstacles. You had kind of got that flow down, and the waves were coming. You're like, okay, I can deal with this. I can deal with this level of trouble. I can deal with this level of trial. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, man, comes the big wave, the big tsunami. Just goes, shoo, bam, I mean, and just slams you down. Well, we're all going to face that. Nobody is exempt from facing that kind of trouble. But here's my question to you. How do you talk about it? How do you talk about it? Are your words magnifying your difficulty, or are they magnifying your deliverer? How do you talk about it? Are your words bringing constant attention to the size of your storm? Are they bringing constant attention to the size and the power of your God? What are your words emphasizing? See, I'm not saying that you ignore the waves, but you don't have to inflate them either. You don't have to ignore them, but don't inflate them either. This is what David said in Psalm 91. He says, this I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in him. Let me tell you, David had plenty of reasons to talk about the waves. He had plenty of reasons to focus on his trials. He had plenty of reasons to talk about all of his troubles. But this is what David chose to talk about in this moment. He said, I declare this about the Lord. He is my refuge. He is my place of safety. I've got trouble on this side, but I'm putting my focus on God over here. I'm dealing with difficulty over here, but I know that God is my refuge. He is my protector. He is my deliverer. He is the one in whom I place my trust. So don't spend all of your time making declarations about your waves. Make some declarations to your waves about your God. Here's the third thing that our words impact. Our words impact our worth. Our words impact our worth. Your worth as a believer in Jesus Christ does not come from what you have. Instead, it comes from who you belong to. That's where our worth comes from. Our worth does not come from what we have. Our worth comes from who we belong to. And this is what the enemy will do. The enemy will always come to lie to you. And there's a couple things that he always attempts to do. The first thing that he likes to do is he tries to convince you that you will never measure up. You will never, ever measure up. He will come and say, man, listen to how they pray. Look at how they worship. He will always draw your attention on somebody else, and he's doing it for the exact purpose of you coming to the same conclusion that he's trying to get you to, that I will never measure up. I'll never be as good of a husband as he is. I'll never be as good of a mom as she is. And the enemy always tries to pull you in this because he's trying to get you caught in the trap of comparison. But ultimately, the trap of comparison is just a trap of worth. He's just trying to get you to feel like you don't have any worth because you're not as good as somebody else. Here's another little thing that he'll do. He'll come and he'll try to convince you that if you do just a little bit more, then God will approve you. If you do just a little bit more, then possibly God can use you. Then he just keeps readjusting the line. He just keeps moving that line back further and further and further and further. He just keeps on readjusting the game. And it's never enough. It's got to be more prayer. It's got to be more serving. It's got to be more reading. It's got to be more fasting. And why is he doing this? Because he's trying to get you caught in the trap of competition. He's trying to get you to compete so that you will feel like you have won, so that you will feel like you are worthy. He's trying to trap you in this competition. But what is this all about? It's about you feeling worth. So I will feel worth. I'm trying to earn this worth that I want. And if the enemy can't get you with the first one or the second one, then this is the third game that the enemy will play. And he tries to convince you that you are so far advanced and you are so far ahead of everyone else that God just couldn't make it without somebody like you. He begins to fill your mind and heart with pride, self-righteousness. Why does he do that? Because he knows how much God hates that. And then your worth begins to come from yourself, begins to come from your commitment, begins to come from your holiness. It begins to come from how you have your life and your family all together. And he tries to get you caught in this trap of conceit, this trap of conceit. What is this trap of conceit all about? It's all about worth. Because you feel worth. I feel worth from who I am, and I feel worth from what I've accomplished, and I feel worth from my own dedication. And because I feel this worth, it is self-produced, but it is worth, and it is all wrong. Your worth is not judged based on what you do have or what you don't have. Your worth will always be based on who has you. Your worth is not based on what you have. It's not based on what you don't have. Your worth will always be based on who has you. And this is why we start our declaration with this statement: I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Come on, say it with me. I am a child of God, because this speaks to our worth right from the beginning. I belong here. I am God's child. I might not have everything worked out in my life, but I know where my worth comes from. John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right. Everybody say right. He gave the right to become children of God. All you have to do is to believe and receive Jesus into your life, and he gives you the right to become children of God. You see, you don't declare, I am a child of God, when you're having a good day or you're just feeling extra spiritual. No, you have the right. Jesus gave you the right to declare it every single day of your life. Good days and bad days, I am a child of God. When I've made the right decisions and I've made the wrong decisions, I am a child of God. This is not a declaration for Sunday morning. It's a declaration for every morning, and it's a declaration for every night. I am a child of God. Close by this last scripture in Romans 8. Romans 8, Paul writes, and he says this, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading again to fear. The fear of what? Fear of God's judgment. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, the spirit producing sonship by which we joyfully cry, Abba Father, Daddy God. The spirit himself testifies and confirms together with our spirit, assuring us that we believers are children of God. See, friends, you don't have to be a slave of fear. You don't have to sit up at night worried, consumed with worry about God's judgment, because you have been adopted into his family. Now, you might can have a child by accident, but you can't adopt somebody by accident. You were adopted on purpose. He says, I want you to know that you weren't in an accident. You weren't a mistake. You were adopted. I knew you, and I claimed you, and I wanted you, and I purchased you, and I brought you into my family so that for the rest of your life, you could find worth in knowing that you have a seat at my table, that you would know you always have a place in this family, that you can stand and declare on any day of your life, whether you got your hands up or whether you got tears falling down, you can declare, I am a child of God. And when the enemy shows up to convince you of things that you did, he comes to convince you that you don't belong. No, you can tell, well, I do declare, I am a child of God, and he has accepted me. He has approved of me. He has invited me in. And enemy, there's nothing that you can do about it. I want you to stand with me this morning. I want you to look at me before we pray. This morning, you're not contending for your worth. The Holy Spirit has already confirmed your worth. The Holy Spirit has already confirmed. You're not trying to contend for your worth. You're not trying to fight for your worth. You're not trying to prove your worth. The Holy Spirit has already come, is what the scripture says. The Holy Spirit has come to confirm that you belong. To confirm your place, to confirm that you are a son, to confirm that you are a daughter, to confirm that you are a child of God. So stop contending, stop fighting, stop striving, and just begin to declare, I do declare, I am a child of God.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you'd like more information on North Point Community Church, you can find us online at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com.